Most respected elders and friends, mothers and sisters in Islam, we continue with the seerat, the biography of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and in particular the various marriages of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. On one occasion, there were three Sahaba that came to Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. They inquired from Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, what was the practice of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at night? After they heard what Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala told of the practice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one Sahabi decided that he is not going to get married. Whole life he is going to remain as a bachelor, engaging himself in the ibadat of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. The amount of ibadat that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did, that is sufficient for him. But for us as Sahaba, we are not the prophets of Allah, we need to exert ourselves much more. Another Sahabi, he decided that he is going to fast his entire life. And another Sahabi decided that he is never going to sleep at night. He is going to engage himself in the ibadat of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. When Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard about this, the resolution that these three Sahaba had taken, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam condemned that attitude. And one of the things that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, An-nikah min sunnati. To get married, this is my sunnah. In one hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reported to have mentioned, فَمَنْ رَغِبَ عَنْ سُنَّتِي فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. That person who turns away from my sunnah, he is not from my path. In one hadith, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu specifically addresses the shabab. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addresses the shabab, the youth. Those of you who've got the financial mean and ability to get married, should get married. Ya ma'ashara shabab, man istata'a minkum al-ba'ata falyatazawwaj, fa'innahu aghadhu lil-basar wa ahsanu lil-farj. When you get married, you're able to control your eyes, you're able to control your chastity, your desires. Wa man lam yastati' fa'alayhi bis-sawm. And those of you who cannot get married, for whatever reason, fa'alayhi bis-sawm. Fast. When you got full stomach, that is when you have your carnal desires getting the better of you. In fact, marriage is such a thing that it brings about a personal fulfillment in a person. Many needs of ours can be fulfilled through other people, but there are certain needs of ours, personal needs of ours, can only be fulfilled through marriage, through no other way. That is why Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala says, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لم ترى للمتحابين مثل النكاح. You wouldn't see two people loving each other as much as two married people would love each other. That is the relationship between the husband and the wife. Reverting to a seerat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the marriages of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whilst Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha was alive, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not take another wife. He got married to Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala at the age of 25. Right until the age of 50, the age of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that's when Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha passed away. For 25 years, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam led a monogamous marriage. It was only after that, that is from the youth of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam past his middle age, almost old age, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam led a monogamous marriage. This answers many questions about the polygamous marriage of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and why Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got married to Hazrat Khadija, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha at a young age. We have given detailed explanation to this, which is posted on our website, and it can also be taken down from the Ask Imam website. After the Khadija radiallahu ta'ala passed away, one woman by the name of Khawla, She came up to Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and she said, "O Prophet of Allah, I see you sad. I see you grieving." So Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told to Khawla, "Why should I not? When Khadija did this for me and Khadija did that for me. Khadija did this for me, Khadija did that for me. She did everything for me." Khawla then suggested to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "O Prophet of Allah, why don't you remarry?" Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked to who? She said that if you're looking for a tayyiba woman, a woman that was previously married, then get married to Sauda bint Zam'a. And if you want to get married to somebody that is a bakira, a woman that was not previously married, then get married to your friend's daughter, the daughter of Abu Bakr Siddiq, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam accepted the suggestion of Khawla and told to her that you make the proposals for both these women. Khawla goes to Sauda bint Zam'a and she told to her that I have a proposal from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to marry you. Now, Sauda bint Zam'a radiallahu ta'ala anha, she had already accepted Islam. And she followed Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it is for that reason Khawla made the suggestion to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to get married to Sauda bint Zam'a, because she had accepted Islam and she ardently followed Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Khawla told to Sauda bint Zam'a of the proposal of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she readily accepted. But she told that in our tradition, as is a tradition in many families, talk to my father first. Go to my father, talk to my father. So Khawla goes to the father of Sauda bint Zam'a. Sauda bint Zam'a told to Khawla, "Only one thing, if you want to draw my father on your side, then don't greet him with Assalamu alaikum. Greet him in the customary way, say An'im sabaha, which is equivalent to what we would say good morning." So that was the norm of the time. So greet my father in this way, tell him An'im sabaha, and then make the proposal. Khawla went and made the proposal to the father of Sauda bint Zam'a. When he heard about the proposal and he heard about Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned a very compatible match. He accepted the proposal and that is when the nikah took place. One very outstanding quality of Sauda bint Zam'a radiallahu ta'ala anha was, she was a very jovial woman. She always used to make Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam laugh and she used to say very light-hearted things to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One of the adabs, one of the etiquettes of a marriage, relationship between the husband and wife, there are times when you are serious, there are times when you are light-hearted. You can't be serious all the time, and you can't be light-hearted all the time. There were times Nabi Sallam was serious. There were also times when Nabi Kareem Sallam was even light-hearted with his wives. The wives are also light-hearted with Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. In fact, there are amazing hadith in Bukhari, in the second volume, in the 21st chapter. Babu husnul ahl ma'al mu'ashara. How to live beautifully, nicely, even to the extent of laughing and joking with their wives, that is the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One day, as Aisha radiallahu ta'ala mentions, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke about 11 Yemeni women. They all gathered, they were only women, they all gathered, like-minded people, and they all had experiences with their husbands. So these 11 women decided that they are going to divulge the information of their husbands to each other. They took a pledge, a promise, that they will divulge the information of their husbands to each other, and they will not conceal anything from each other about who their husband is, describing the husband and telling everything about their husbands. It's a lengthy hadith, but I would just share to you just one characteristic of each one of these 11 women. What the 11 women mentioned about the husband. The first one, now this is a hadith, it is something that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is telling to Hazrat Aisha. Nabi doesn't spend this kind of time, light-hearted information with his wives. So Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told about these 11 women, what these 11 women told to other women about their husbands. And probably I normally tell the students of hadith, see which category we can put him. Anyway, the first one, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi, the first one told, Zawji Lahmu Jamalin. My husband, he's like the meat of a camel. I'm only going to give the first characteristics, just to give you a taste and try to get the understanding of the hadith from your local ulama. Second one, she was very intelligent. Now, when it came to her turn to describe a husband, she said, my husband, Zawji, La Abuthu Khabara. I'm not going to tell anything about my husband. If I only start talking, I won't end. Third one, she said, Zawji Al-Ashannaq. Ashannaq means, in short and brief, encapsulating everything of the husband, is a stupid person. Fourth one, Zawji Kalayli Tihama. My husband, he is like the cool nights of Tihama. Very cool, calm person. That's what the fourth one described about her husband. Fifth one, she mentioned something very ajeeb. Zawji in dakhala fahid wa in kharaja asid. My husband, you know, when he enters the house, he's like a cheetah. My husband, when he enters the house, now remember, Allah the Rasul is telling this to his wives. Light-hearted stuff about the thinking, philosophy, ideology, how all other people think, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is sharing this with his wives. But my husband, when he enters the house, he's like a cheetah. When kharaj, asad. When he leaves the house, he's like a lion. That means in the house he's not like a lion, but outside he shows his strength. Some men, they'll show their strength inside, not outside. Then the sixth one, she said, Zawji in akala shaffa. My husband is such, when he sits on the table, when he sits on the dastarkhan, and we start eating, he wraps up everything that is there, indicating he leaves nothing for me. The seventh one, she said, Zawji ghayaya. My husband is the most stupidest person that you could ever come across. I'm just giving the one characteristic that one of the wives would say. The eighth one mentioned, Zawji almas masu arnab. My husband, his touch to me, very considerate, his touch is like a touch of a rabbit. Soft, loving, compassionate. Then another wife, she told, Zawji rafi'ul imad. My husband, he's got huge pillars. Pillars means that he's a rich, wealthy person, very, very generous, indicating the generosity of the husband. And then finally, this hadith is called Hadith Umme Zara. Now Umme Zara, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, telling to Hadha Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, and preparing herself for the final. The Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told to Hadha Aisha that the 11th woman was Umme Zara. Umme Zara was a woman who was previously married. She was married to Abu Zara, and the marriage ended up in a divorce. And then Umme Zara got married to her second husband. So she describes that how generous the first husband was, not only to her, but to her mother, to her brother, to her sister, to everyone in her family. And he gave everything to her. The marriage ended up in a divorce. Umme Zara got married to another husband. And after that, she speaks about her second husband, the generosity of their second husband. But at the ending, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told to Hazrat Aisha that Umme Zara mentioned that I've received so much of benevolence from my second husband, but when I think about the benevolence of my first husband, all the things that my second husband has given to me is nothing equivalent to what my first husband has given to me. Said the first love, it's a last love. Then Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned to Umme Zara, to Hazrat Aisha, I am to you like what Abu Zara was to Umme Zara. that consideration, the love, the care. So Nabi Kareem Sallam spent light-hearted stuff with his wives, and this among the great sunnahs of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that contributes towards a successful marriage. Hazrat Sauda bint Zam'a radiallahu ta'ala anha, she passed away in the 23rd year after Hijrah during the Khilafat of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Now it was around the same time when Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam got married to Hazrat Sauda bint Zam'a that Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam got married to Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. Now Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, Khawla bint Zam'a, Khawla, she went to Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala and told to Abu Bakr Siddiq, there's a proposal from the side of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to get married to your daughter. Now Aisha radiallahu ta'ala was already proposed to someone else. She was already proposed to Jubair ibn Mut'im. When Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala heard this, he immediately went to the house of Mut'im and asked him about the marriage. So Mut'im, his wife was there. He looks at his wife is looking at him. And their concern was they heard that Abu Bakr Siddiq became a Muslim. And if Jubair is to get married to the daughter of Abu Bakr, then what is going to be of her faith and of her religion? So Jubair looks at his, Mut'im looks at his wife looks at him, and then they express their concern that look, Jubair is going to get married to your daughter, then I don't think she'll be able to maintain the religion of her forefathers. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu knew now that he cannot continue with this pledge, because the religion and the Islam, the Tawheed of Aisha is more important than anything else. So he did not have to honor that pledge, that engagement that took place. That is when he went and accepted the proposal of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got married to Hada Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha when she was 6 years old or 7 years, and he started staying when she was around 9 years old. She stayed with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for 9 years. When she was 18 years of age, that is when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away. She lived thereafter for another 48 years, and at the age of 65 or 66, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha passed away. Now, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala was a woman of great, amazing talent, great skills. In one hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have mentioned, Khuzu min hadhi al-humaira sulusay dinikum. Take from Humaira, this was the second name of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, take from her 2/3 of your religion. 2/3 of your religion, take from Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. In fact, Imam Zuhri rahmatullah alayhi, he says that if you have to weigh all the knowledge, the jurisprudence, the understanding that each one of the wives of Rasulullah had and compared with the understanding, knowledge and jurisprudence of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, the knowledge and jurisprudence of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha would outweigh the knowledge of each one of the wives of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imam Zuhri also mentions that one sahabi mentioned, I haven't seen anyone more eloquent than Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. She was also known for her zuhud and for her abstinence. Now what can we tell about Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, concerning whom there are so many ayats of the Quran al-Kareem revealed regarding her. Her purity, her chastity, and what a great amazing person she is. That incident, the incident of Ifq took place, and Almighty Allah Tabaraka sent down the bara'ah of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. Now at that time, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you would come in the home, and I would observe that Nabi Sahib was not what he used to be before. That open-heartedness, that expressing words of kindness, something was worrying Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After that, it's a lengthy incident where the matter was clarified to verses of the Quran al-Kareem. And from this we understand, in marriage, certain challenges take place. The wife also understands the mindset of the husband. Very often when the wife doesn't understand the mindset of the husband, she misconstrues things, and that also leads to marital problems and marital disputes. Hadrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala na, one quality of hers, she was very possessive. Although Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam had other wives, but she, especially during her turn, she was very possessive. There's a famous hadith, one night, she woke up, and she noticed Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not beside her. In the beginning of the night, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was beside her. Middle of the night, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam not there. She got worried. She thought Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam gone to another wife's house. She woke up in the middle of the night to search for Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Only to realize Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is nowhere but in Jannatul Baqi, making dua in the night. So from far, when she observed that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is in Jannatul Baqi, not where she thought Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would be, she took a U-turn and she came running home. Shortly thereafter, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam came home. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam observed, she's panting for breath. That's when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam told to her, "Oh Aisha, do you think that the Rasul of Allah is going to embezzle with you? Don't you know which night is this? This is the 15th of Sha'ban." And one more incident to show how she was possessive over Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, especially during her time, when it was her time to be with Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Once, when she was with Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was her turn to be with Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Another wife, she sent some food for Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam with a slave. So Hadrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala thought to herself, "My turn to be with Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's my honor to cook and feed Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why another wife is sending food?" So out of possessiveness, she hit the hand of the slave, of the slave woman, and the container of food fell down. Now look at Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's attitude. These things happen in a marriage. These things happen in a home. But see what Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam did. He didn't burst with anger. He contained himself. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam went down and he started picking up the broken piece of the container, and he mentioned, "Gharat ummukum, gharat ummukum. Your people's mother Aisha, she's overcome by possessiveness. Your mother Aisha, she's overcome by possessiveness." That's all Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam did. Contained and tolerated himself. Hazrat Aisha showed her feminine side. Nabi Kareem showed his perfect character and the masculine side of himself. And then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was also fair. Although the container broke, it came from the wife of another wife. Nabi took another container from the house of Aisha and replaced it to the house of the other wife. So, respected elders and friends, these are some of the seerat, the marriage life of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When we hear all this, we take from it, we draw from it, and we try to inculcate it in our lives to bring sukoon, chain, afiyat, khair, barakah in our own marriages. Allah give us tawfiq wa asu da'wana. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.